Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's on this, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, for our service of Holy Communion. We welcome visitors in particular who are joining with us. All are very welcome. Our service begins on page 201. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For today, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
These Sundays of Epiphany set before us some extraordinary mystical visions of heaven. In this passage, Jesus appears as both lion and lamb, strong in weakness. He is the only one who can reveal the mysteries of God to us. The epistle is from Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp of golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Then they sing a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, so I thank and be turned to light.
Baptism, of which we heard last Sunday, Jesus began to choose men to share his work. Among them was Nathanael, who received an unexpected invitation from Philip to come and see, and was even more surprised to discover that Jesus knew all about his past, present, and future. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I put a few questions to you this morning at the outset. Can anything good come from Northern Ireland? Can anything good come from Belfast? Can anything good come from Knock? Or if we make it more local, can anything good really come from King's Road in Knock? The questions, I suppose, could be endless, and they're prompted by words from this morning's Gospel passage. Can anything good come from Nazareth? I've listened to this morning's Gospel on many occasions, and the question at its centre brings to mind a difficult and challenging experience in the early days of my ministry in a parish not more than 10 miles from here. As can sometimes be the case in parish ministry, it was about a difficult relationship, or perhaps in this instance, a non-relationship. A lady took an instant dislike to me, crossing to the other side of the road when she saw me approaching. Finding convenient reasons for not opening her front door when I called, and looking the other way as she left the parish church on a Sunday morning. What was it all about? Well, having sought the advice of my rector at that time, I asked her as gently and diplomatically as I could to tell me if I had offended her. That didn't achieve much, I'm afraid, except for her brief outburst. "You Republicans are all the same. I don't trust you, and I don't wish to engage with you." Now, those were the dreadful days in the mid-1970s when people were murdered on an almost daily basis in atrocities perpetrated by all sorts of people in our troubled land and society. I don't know what triggered her reaction to me, and I'd have to say that it stands out as an exceptional case in all my years in ministry in Northern Ireland, where I've been treated with nothing but kindness. But at the heart of the problem seemed to be the fact that I hailed from the Republic or Free State, or whatever she chose to call it, and as far as she was concerned, nothing good ever emanated from there. Location, our native place or community in which we live, can factor heavily into our assumptions and judgments about people. Very quickly, we can jump to conclusions, although I would suggest that we tread carefully, because those assumptions can be very false. The tendency is nothing new. It went on in first century Israel as well. People would be judged about whether they grew up in Judea, in Samaria, or in Galilee. Then, as now, the more remote and the less urban the location, the more likely people were to look down on those who came from such areas. And so it was with Nazareth in Galilee. The village was seen as remote, far from the epicenter of Judaism in Jerusalem. Nazareth was not on the Sea of Galilee. It was not near the Mediterranean Sea. It was out in the Styx, in the back of beyond. As far as some of the educated Jews were concerned, or those at least who had an opinion of themselves, the Nazarenes would have been judged as simple-minded, or worse. Philip grew up a short distance from Nazareth and Bethsaida on the Sea of Galilee. He got to know Jesus personally and was deeply impressed by him. Quickly, we're told that he informed his friend Nathanael about him. The initial reaction of Nathanael was honest, but highly prejudiced. Jesus from Nazareth? Can anything good come from that place? The brief conversation between two men who are to become part of the team we refer to as the 12 Apostles, highlights one of the most negative and potentially destructive features in any society, namely prejudice. To a greater or lesser extent, it's found in all of us. It can be indicative of our unwillingness to face the fact that we need to correct what is amiss and to supply what is lacking in ourselves and in our close-knit communities. It's one of the factors that has the ability to kill our country and society, with many of our politicians unable, or let's face it, incapable of progressing beyond an endless blame game in which prejudice and sectarianism regularly rear their ugly heads. Philip overcame Nathanael's prejudice not by argument, but by suggesting that he come and see. It's one of the many instances in Holy Scripture and in the early Christian church where people had experiences that changed their attitudes profoundly. One such person was St. Paul, whose conversion experience we'll recall in 10 days' time. Others for me include St. Augustine and St. Francis. In each case, there is the suggestion that the people concerned sensed that God was aware of their inner thoughts. That acknowledgement that God knows our inner thoughts is stressed on many occasions in the liturgy of our church. For example, this morning's Holy Communion service began with the prayer, Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Mourners at a funeral service may hear the words, You know, Lord, the secrets of our hearts. While the book of Ecclesiastes, for instance, concludes with the words, God brings everything we do to judgment and every secret, whether good or bad. Nathanael voiced the persistent Jewish prejudice against Jesus, stating that he came from an insignificant town of mixed population, simple-minded Jews and Gentiles. However, as we know, the invitation to come and see changed his life. And that invitation is extended to every disciple, to every inquirer, and to every skeptic. Breaking down the walls of partition, prejudice, and suspicion may be a long and difficult and, yes, at times dispiriting task, but the outcome can lead to a more wholesome society and the conviction that we have experienced and acquired a real sense of the mind of Jesus Christ. That was the conversion experience that transformed Nathanael. It's an experience we are told and can believe is common to you and to me. The opening words of the concluding hymn this morning, attributed to Jesus in a sense, compels us as we sing them to respond in the affirmative. Will you come and follow me? If I but call your name, will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning's intercessions are taken from Form 2. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Creator of a universe full of wonder and many still hidden mysteries, help us in our modern, sometimes confusing and fast-changing world to pause and reflect on your glory and unending grace, and in the stillness to listen, like Samuel, for your voice speaking to us alone. We bring to you now our prayers and concerns for others, confident in the knowledge that our prayers will be both heard and answered. As we pray for the church both far and near, we remember the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. Help us through our services, community outreaches, and other organizations to be bold in our professing that Christ is Saviour and Lord of all. Renew the life of this diocese, bless Harold, our bishop, and build us up in faith and love. Today we pray especially for the rector and all who work in the parishes of Killinchy, Kilmood, and Tully Nakill. We pray for all who share in the church's mission in this community. Help us to move forward in faith, trusting in the guidance of your Holy Spirit and in your divine purpose for us all. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. We continue to pray for peace in your world, and especially for those involved in the process of reconciliation and bridge building between peoples, cultures, or nations. We give thanks for those who have ceased hostilities, but we pray for those for whom it has come too late. Help us wherever and whenever we can in our everyday lives to be instruments of your peace. We are called to challenge injustice in all its forms, and we pray for all aid agencies bringing hope to peoples in desperation and in situations that often seem hopeless. In our world of haves and have-nots, as we come to terms with new economic realities, help us to remember those who are without even the most basic of the necessities of life and for whom Christ also died. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace, and bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. The current and deepening financial crisis creates uncertainties and hardship at all levels of our society. We pray for careful and considered leadership that transcends party politics and works for the betterment of all sections of our diverse society. As we see the jobless total rise and the increase in the reality of house repossessions on our TV screens, we pray for all charities who work to improve the lives of those blighted by misfortune and earnestly pray that our nation will still maintain its levels of giving. We pray for our armed forces overseas and their families back home, and that their time in theatres of conflict is brought to a timely conclusion. Help us all to play our part in creating and maintaining a just, equitable and loving society with Christ at the centre of our lives. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to share our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Lord Jesus, we turn our thoughts and prayers to those who are in physical, mental, or spiritual need. and let our prayers extend to those who faithfully and lovingly care for them in whatever location or capacity. We pray for those who reach out to those in need to help them to know that they are not forgotten. We bring before you now those known to us who are in any sort of need at this time. In a moment of silence, we name them in our hearts and commit them to your loving care. Let those for whom we pray feel your healing touch in their lives, and that through your unfathomable grace, they come to know your peace in their lives. Be with those who have a special need and deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, the loss of a loved one brings many questions, doubts, and mixed emotions which are difficult to express. And so we give you thanks, Lord, for the opportunities in the life of our church to offer support and comfort to those bereaved. Today we especially remember the Lockhart family, the Matchett family, and the Camp family. We pray now for those who are having to face the future without the physical presence of a loved one. We are reminded that as Christians we find comfort in the full and certain knowledge that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. You turn our darkness into light. In your light shall we see light. Bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Our Saviour Christ is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Peace with you.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Be present, Lord Jesus Christ, our risen High Priest. Make yourself known in the breaking of bread. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Father Almighty, and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. For Jesus Christ, our Lord, who in human likeness revealed your glory to bring us out of darkness into the splendor of his light. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy Church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him, Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We be many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Let us pray. God of glory, you nourish us with bread from heaven. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ the Son, be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Our parish table quiz takes place on Friday week, the 26th of January, in Bloomfield Collegiate School. And the reason we are in Bloomfield is, should the weather be challenging on that night, nobody is going to have to negotiate the steep descent to our church hall, and Bloomfield Collegiate School is all on the flat. And I'm asking for your support and assistance with the preparations for what will be, I know, a most enjoyable and entertaining evening. Tables are for 6 people and tickets are available this morning. Please see Elizabeth Leonard after this service. And we are asking people to purchase tickets in advance to help us with the practical arrangements of the setting up of the hall in the school, and also to help with the catering committee and their preparations. And the catering committee are meeting immediately after this service to work through with their plans. Billy McAlpine is going to be our quizmaster. He's working really hard, and we're most grateful to Billy for all that he is doing. But in order for the evening to have the potential that it has, and to have the enjoyment that it has the potential of being, we're asking for your help to come along to support the evening and to give of your brain skills to help us with our ongoing work of fundraising for the Church Refurbishment Fund. So I'm hoping also that all of the parish organisations will field the table, and also members of our local churches in the community, I'm hoping they will be able to send some of their representatives to support us as we continue to connect both with the community and with our local churches in the Belmonton District Council of Churches. So do please see Elizabeth after this service for your tickets. Our final hymn, which Canon Smith has referred to already, "Will You Come and Follow Me?"
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.